especially Paul, because he's so fond of run-on sentences and things that he could say so succinctly that he takes a really long time to say. But that's okay. We love him. At least some of us do. So good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Yesterday was a historic day in the life of England and the world. A new king, Charles, was crowned and the world celebrated. And there were overtones of a desire to make the monarchy more embracing and diverse in its presence in the country and the world. Charles made sure that a rabbi that he had invited was attending the service would be housed somewhere near the church, near the abbey, so that they could walk, so he and his wife could walk, being that it was the Sabbath, and he was supposed to not take any transportation or etc. People came from all over the world to honor the new king, camped in the streets for several days, just to be able to get a glimpse of their new leader. And while it is considered by some that the monarchy is insignificant in our time, I don't believe that this is the case. First of all, the king or queen of England is also the head of the Church of England. And that's a constancy that there's nowhere else in the political realm of the country. The monarch is constant. Like I say, in a way that the parliamentary governing body doesn't follow. They're always changing or fussing or deciding they believe something different. But there's no refuting the king's leadership. So what would our world be like if we received King Jesus with the same excitement and dedication that Charles received? What if we waited in line for hours for church? And what if the church was filled to capacity? And what if we celebrated the Palm Sunday triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the Easter miracle every Sunday, even any Sunday in ordinary time, which would be preposterously celebratory? Remember, I use the word ordinary time just to make a point because, as you may recall, ordinary time actually refers to the counting of the Sundays between major events, major feasts in the church. Wouldn't it be amazing if we filled the church, celebrated Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life every single Sunday? Some of those that would purport to take the Bible literally and to their satisfaction in that understanding of what it means miss a great opportunity to understand in this passage what Jesus offers us, an opportunity to see God through him. Jesus opens a door to unlimited resources through him and through prayer. This passage is often used to suggest that the only way to eternal life is by accepting Jesus as your Savior, by him being the gatekeeper, that only through him can you find the way, the truth, and the life. In my opinion, this turns the church into a club. That's only entry is to be believed that Jesus is the only way. And this limits God as a possession by Christians and pronounces a judgment on those of other faiths. A judgment that we don't have the right to pronounce because God is our judge. If God indeed created the world, the entire world, not just the Christian world, then we'd have to embrace the idea that God makes himself known in ways that may or may not be understood, that we might not understand. That's part of the mystery of God. something, I don't know about you all, but something that I long to understand. I just wish that I could just get a little bit more up here and in here. Through Jesus, we are offered just a piece of understanding as he invites us to a place of inclusion, not exclusion. Jesus offers himself as the way to see God. The way is how we follow Jesus, not how we claim exclusive rights to salvation. Jesus is the manifestation of the hope and promise of God. And indeed, it is through Jesus and through knowing Jesus that we can find God. Today's reading is Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples as he prepares for his death. His instructions are to have hope and faith that Jesus has a place for us in eternity, and that we are to look to Jesus as the way to live our lives. The way. The way is not a magical entrance into eternity. It is how we are to behave as Christ's disciples. By following Jesus, we can find hope. And through following the way of Jesus, we can believe what Jesus tells his followers when we don't know the way and we are lost. Thomas says, "I don't know what you're talking about, Lord." And Jesus replies, "Trust me, I have your back." "We want to see God," Philip says. Like ourselves, or at least like me, we want to see some evidence as to the truth of who God is. I think Jesus must have rolled his eyes at Philip, or maybe just turned away so Philip didn't see it. "Don't you get it, Philip? You've seen God. God is manifest through me," says Jesus. I don't know about you, but this is a lot to digest as a disciple of Jesus, trying to walk his way in a world that is filled with troubled hearts. And our response to this world has to be to emulate the hope and the love that Jesus offers us. The words, "Do not let your heart be troubled," are the words of this passage that we need to take literally. So as you know, I was away Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Shrinemont, and our speaker was a man named Martin Smith, who has written a few books, and he's an amazing, amazing lecturer and teacher, and he has a book on reconciliation that changed my life and how I understand what it means to forgive and to be forgiven. One of the things that he used in his presentation to talk about our relationship with God were the words of the hymn St. Patrick's Breastplate. And just for the heck of it, I looked up, because I knew that what we get in when we sing it is not the entire prayer. So I printed off the prayer, and I printed off enough there on the table that you can each have one if you'd like to spend some time with it. And I especially love the picture of St. Patrick. To me, it looks like he's blessing the snakes. So I'm not sure about that. And it looks like he's kind of chuckling. But I'm not sure about that either. But anyway, so I started looking at some of the differences between what it is that we sing in that marvelous hymn and what it is that St. Patrick wrote as his prayer. Now, his prayer is much longer, and it is different. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. Like I say, you can pick up a copy and spend some time with it in your prayer time. Supposedly, St. Patrick wrote this prayer in 433 AD, asking for divine protection before he successfully converted the Irish king and his subjects from paganism to Christianity. And in the 19th century, a man named C.F. Alexander wrote the hymn based on this prayer. In the hymn, There's a list of things that we ask, that we acclaim about Jesus. In the prayer, there's also some claims that we ask of God, that we proclaim for God. But in the hymn, we read that Christ is with me, with. Christ is within me, behind me, before me, beside me. He comforts and restores me. He's beneath me. People don't like that one. He's above me. Christ is quiet, and he's present in danger. And he's in the hearts of all that love me, and in the mouth of all friends and strangers. Part of what Martin said to us that really struck home with me, well, there are two things I want to share with you today. The first one is that idea of Christ being beneath me. Because when we think of that, we think of you know, hell and Satan and all of that. But what he said is that we can't limit where Christ is. He's below me and above me. And that was something that was new to me, interesting. But the most significant thing that he talked about that really set with me was the idea of Christ behind me. Like in the reading today, Jesus tells his disciples, I've got your back. Christ behind me. I've got your back, he says. And behind me is kind of can be a threatening thing. If you're standing there and all of a sudden somebody walks up and says something in your ear, sometimes, I mean, it can be startling. What is somebody doing back there? But ultimately, what we have to do is know that whatever's back there, whatever's behind us, that Christ has it for us. So I ask you and invite you today to let not your heart be troubled. Amen.